Please take your Bibles again and turn with me to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, reading verses 5 to 8. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. This is God's word. Let us go before him in prayer that we might be able to understand it rightly. Our God, we thank you that you are not a silent God. You have spoken to us through your Son and through his word. We pray that by the work of your Holy Spirit, we would be enabled to understand this portion of it rightly, that it would go down into our lives, that we would practice it in our lives. And we ask all of this through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the next several months, whenever I preach in the morning, we'll be looking at the subject of prayer, and doing that from the model prayer that the Lord Jesus gives us just after the verses that I read. But this section is Christ's introduction to that model prayer. And so that is what we're looking at this morning. And I want to begin doing so by thinking about the fact that healthy relationships are characterized by healthy communication. You know this, don't you? Husbands, wives, I'm sure you know this. When the communication between you and your spouse is good, that's good for your relationship. It grows, it develops well, and in a healthy manner. But it's not only the case with marriage, is it? Some of us know this because of our relationship with our parents. Others of us know it because of the relationship that we have with colleagues or friends. When that communication is healthy, the relationship is healthy and grows. When that communication breaks down, so does the relationship. And sometimes we think that this doesn't apply to our relationship with God, that somehow that's in some sort of separate sphere, that general rule doesn't apply. But in reality, we need good communication with our God. Now, it's a bit different in the sense that as the Christian communicates with God, God speaks to the Christian, or speaks actually to anyone, through his word. That's the way in which God speaks to us. But we then speak back to God in prayer. And this is why, in the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, prayer is so important. We think of times where he went away and spent all night in prayer. It was something of great importance to him. This is why we are commanded to be constant in prayer throughout our life, because that communication with our God is of such vital importance in our relationship with him. In this passage, Jesus, as I said, has this section that we read where he's focusing on the fact that prayer must be God-centered. And then he goes on and gives us a model of what prayer looks like. But in these verses, his focus, as I say, is that prayer must be God-centered. And that is really the center of what I want to show you this morning, that prayer must be God-centered. And I want to do that in 3 points. The first is a biblical definition of prayer. The second is prayer is to be to God, not for men. And the final one is that prayer is to be according to the character of God. Prayer is to be according to the character of God. So, a biblical definition of prayer. Now, in some ways, that's not directly from this text. But there's not much point in speaking about prayer if we're not on the same page as to what prayer is. All of us have ideas. We've come here this morning and we have ideas about what prayer is. But does that match up with what Scripture says about prayer? That's really the key question. And so over the next few minutes, I'm going to read several passages about prayer. And please do not try to find them. Just simply hear God's word on what prayer is. Children, as you think about prayer, perhaps your parents have said to you, prayer is like talking to God. Have they ever said that to you? Well, if they have, there's quite a bit of truth to that. Prayer is our communication to God. What does that look like? Prayer is bringing our requests to God. Many of you know Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is taking those burdens that we have, those requests that we have for something, and bringing them to our God. Prayer is pouring out our hearts before God. Do you know what it is to be burdened with a load of care? Do you know what it is to have things weighing upon your heart and your mind? And then to go and find someone that you are close with, that you trust, and to pour out those burdens to them. Prayer, part of prayer, is doing that with our God. David reminds us in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Prayer is making our requests known to God. Prayer is pouring out our hearts to God. Prayer is confessing our sin. Sin is not doing what God has commanded or not living up to what God has commanded. And we all do it. None of us, not one of us, I can say that without any grain of doubt in my mind, have committed sin. All of us have committed sin. None of us are without sin. And part of prayer is coming before our God and confessing the things that we have done against him, that we might find forgiveness in him. David, again, in a beautiful psalm, Psalm 32, says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Prayer is also thanking God. Again, think of Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's bringing those things which fill our heart with joy, which cause our heart to bubble up with thankfulness to God before him and saying, Lord God, thank you for the life that you have given me. Thank you for the breath you have given me. Thank you for the friends, the family, the job, whatever it might be that you have given me. The resources, even though I don't have a job, whatever it might be. And prayer is a means of grace. Now that's a fancy word, as it were, but it simply means a tool by which we receive help from God. Prayer is a tool by which we receive help from God. Hebrews 4:14 and 16 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." It's that finding mercy and receiving grace in our time of need that we get as we come before the Lord, recognizing our own weakness and struggle and asking for the grace, the help, and the strength that God has in abundance for us. This is all part of prayer, but there is something more. Prayer is also something that involves the whole Trinity. And now people get all funny sometimes when we mention the word Trinity because they think it's something very complicated. But in reality, it's not very complicated at all. And prayer is us addressing our requests, our thanksgivings, our praise, whatever it might be, to God the Father. Through Jesus Christ, by the help of the Spirit. One God, three persons, all working together in our prayer. We address our prayers to God, but we do not come on our own merit in prayer. There's a great illustration that the Bible gives us of this. In the Old Testament, God dwelt in a temple where he was in the very center of it. That's where his presence was. Then there was a court around that where the priests could go in with the sacrifices that they had made. And then outside of that was the place where any of God's people could be. But only one time a year, with blood that had been sacrificed to show the penalty that sin deserves, could one man go into that very center bit to come into the presence of God. And that was the high priest. He brought, as it were, all the people's prayers and requests to God. And that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us if we are in him. It is not that we no longer have a priest. It is not that we no longer have a high priest. But we have, if we are trusting in Jesus Christ, him as our high priest, who has once and for all sacrificed his own body and comes with his own blood, that we may at any time come into the very presence of God through prayer. And it is by the help of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says that we are to pray at all times in the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who comes alongside us to help us. And when we pray in the Spirit, it simply means praying with the help, with the direction of the Holy Spirit. So Christian prayer is communicating to God through Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit. Christian prayer is communicating to God through Jesus by the help of the Holy Spirit. And so we see what prayer is. But Jesus in this passage has particular instructions for us in terms of how we are to pray. Look with me at verse 5 and 6 of Matthew chapter 6. He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, and that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Jesus, at first glance, seems to be giving us a commandment that we shouldn't pray in public. just on the face of the portion of Scripture, that's what he seems to be saying. But is that really what he's getting at? Notice what Jesus points out to us. He points out these hypocrites, these people that appear to be one thing, but actually do not have sincere hearts of prayer towards God. Like those people that we read about earlier that draw near to God with their lips, but not with their hearts. And he says that they do a number of things. Where do they pray? He says they pray at the corners of the streets, in a very public place. And what sort of posture do they take when they pray? They stand up boldly and confidently for all to see. And what is their purpose in their prayer? It is that they should be seen by men. They should shine before men. And Jesus tells us not to be like them. Again, children, have you ever done something? Have you ever obeyed your parents well? Because not so much because you love your parents and you want to obey them, but because you wanted to show how much better you obey than your sister or your brother. Have you ever done that? Yeah, I think you probably have. That's exactly what these people are doing here. They're not praying to God, not praying because they want to communicate with God. They're praying because they want to be seen by all those around. They want them to say, oh, look how wonderful that person prays. Look how spiritual that man is. And Jesus says, we are not to be like that. He says, we are to go into a secret place. We are to shut our door. Now, he's not saying that we can never pray in public. Otherwise, I would have been sitting just a moment ago when I prayed in front of all of you. But by contrast, Jesus is showing prayer that is primarily directed towards God, rather than the prayer of the hypocrites that is directed to all those around and not, in fact, to God. Because those hypocrites, if they were to pray in private, what would be the purpose? There's no one there to see how wonderful they pray. But when we pray to God, our purpose is exactly the same, whether we be in a room full of people or whether we be in private. And in fact, in some ways, it's even better when we're in private because we have less distraction in that sense of praying primarily to God. This is what Jesus is commanding us to do, to pray God-centered prayers, not prayers that are aimed primarily at others. Now, when someone's leading in prayer, yes, of course, we want to pray in a way that others understand around us. But our primary audience always is God. The center of our prayers is God. We must pray God-centered prayers. And we are giving here motivation to do that. Notice what Jesus says about these hypocrites. He says that they have their reward. Or you might say, they receive their reward. It's as if he's saying, you know these people, you've seen them, as if he, you know, he's talking to people in Galilee. He's saying, you've seen these people, what they do, they stand on the street corner, they pray like this. And yeah, you know what? They do get the applause of men. People do look at them and say, oh, how great they are in prayer. But what you see, that reward you see them getting, that's it. That's it. But you, if you pray to me, if you pray to God in secret, if your primary purpose is praying to God, whether it be in secret, however, I will reward, your Father will reward you openly. You will get the reward that the hypocrites seek. You will be rewarded openly. But it will not be from fickle, transient men for this time only. It will be from the eternal God. When you pray, do you feel that urge, that draw to have your audience be others around you? Just to be very honest, I know I do. Is it not easy for us to pray that those around us might think how spiritual we are? And we have all sorts of ways of, you know, covering over this with, oh, well, we want to lead people well in prayer. If we're going to pray, we want to, you know, make it worthwhile and pray a big, long, complicated prayer. We have this weakness too. We pray for those around us rather than to God. And do you feel the urge, the temptation to impress men rather than to make your primary purpose communication with God? Is your attitude in prayer that of self-confidence before men, or a humble focus on God, making your prayers centered on Him? Brothers and sisters, friends, do you really want your reward to be from transient, fickle men? Do you really want your reward to be that sort of applause that is like the morning mist that is here now and perishes in a few minutes? Or would you have your reward be from the Almighty, eternal God, as He pays back to you through all eternity? We see here that our prayers must be God-centered, in that they must be to God and not to those around. But we also see here that our prayers are to be according to the character of God. Because not only does He set up the hypocrites as a negative example for us, but He also sets up another group. And that group is the heathen, or the Gentiles. Now, the problem here is not simply repetition in prayer. He calls them out for their vain repetitions. It's a wrong idea of God. Think about it. Think about how the heathens looked at their gods. Again, children, do you have a favorite superhero? Maybe, maybe not. Think about that superhero. Really, it's very much like you or I. It's he or she is very human in some ways. They look human, they communicate in the same way as humans, but they just have special powers, right? And that's very much like the heathen thought about their gods. They were very much like you and I, except they had these superpowers. But because they were like you and I, they could be forgetful. They could go on vacation. They needed to be reminded again and again and again. These vain repetitions were necessary in order to get and hold the attention of these gods. There's, in some ways, a very humorous story in the Old Testament. Some of you will be familiar with it. where Elijah calls the prophets of a false god, of Baal, and he says to them, I'm going to challenge you, we're both going to set up altars, and we're both going to pray. And whosoever God brings fire down from heaven, that is the true God. And the prophets of Baal go first, and they do all sorts of things. They pray and they pray and pray. They have these vain repetitions. But nothing happens. They even cut themselves. And Elijah, God's prophet, is mocking them and saying, perhaps your God's busy. Perhaps he's on vacation or a holiday. But the thing is, to those prophets of Baal, that wasn't necessarily out of order. Yes, Elijah was mocking them, but their gods were just superhuman. They could go on holiday. They could have maybe been out of earshot or whatever it might be. The heathens have to do those sorts of things because they have a deficient idea of God. But we are not to be like that, because we are to pray prayers according to the character of God. Jesus says, and therefore, in verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. The character of our God is he knows everything. He even knows the prayers we pray before we ask them. We pray in faith, knowing that God knows what we need and will take care of us, but loves to hear his children ask him for what they need. We pray not to inform our God of our need, but to show our reliance on him. But you see, we pray in accordance with God's character, knowing that he knows everything already, not wondering if he will hear us, not wondering if he's fallen down on the job a little bit and we really have this need, but we're not sure whether he yet knows about it. And we can apply this to so much. We have sung about God's character. We've sung about how he is immortal, invisible, God only wise. We've sung about how he is the ruler of heaven and earth, how he has made the north and the south. All these things are to inform our prayers, and all these things are to shape our prayers. I would even encourage you to take the bulletin later today. Look at these hymns. Look at what they say about our God. Look at the Psalms. And shape your prayers by his character. The point is, we are to pray according to the character of God. And this, too, is putting God at the center of our prayers. Because it can be a temptation that instead of actually praying to the God of the Bible, we pray to whatever picture of God we have conjured up in our minds. We think God is like this, or we think like God that God is like that. And so when we pray to him, we're praying according to the character of the God we have created, not according to the God of the Bible. And so if we are to pray God-centered prayers, we must know our God. We must know him from Scripture. The God who says that he is the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. A God of grace and mercy, but a God who is serious about sin. And yet a God who has provided the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see in the rest of Scripture, that we might come before him in his righteousness and not in our sin. The problem with the hypocrites' prayers, the problem with the heathens' prayers, is that their prayers were not centered upon God. The hypocrites, they prayed for other men rather than to God. And the heathen prayed with a false idea of God rather than to the God of the Bible. But brothers and sisters, friends, our prayers must not be like them. Our prayers must be centered on God, not other people, and not on any false ideas of God. And so this morning, we must confess. If we have prayed prayers for others, let us confess that. If we have prayed prayers to our own ideas of God, not shaped by Scripture, let us confess that. And perhaps you are here and you have prayed, but you have not prayed through Jesus Christ. Know that that is essential to prayer. You must come to God through Jesus Christ. There's no requirement to coming to Christ. Christ bids you come. But you must come to God through Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, friends, seek God. Go to God for grace. You see your own weakness and failure in praying for other people. You see your own weakness and failure in not shaping your ideas of God by His Word. You see your own weakness and failure in not coming to God through Jesus Christ. Go to Him. Seek grace and mercy in your time of need. This is what He bids you do. Know the Scriptures that you might shape your idea of Him by them. And if you need help, if you have questions as you develop your life of prayer, that is why God has given us the church. I'm sure that Matthew, that Gordon, that Kevin, the elders that this church has been given, even myself, although not an elder, we would love to speak with you about prayer. We'd love to help you as you develop this vital communication with our God. May He help us and sustain us as we seek Him in prayer. And let us do that now. Our mighty and glorious God, what a privilege it is that we can come to You. We who are dead in our trespasses and sins naturally, coming to You through the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. Help us, we ask. We are weak. We often fail. But we pray that You would forgive us our sins and that You would make us mighty in the discipline of prayer, that we might know You and commune with You more and more, till we do so without prayer for all eternity. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.